Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Ari Wasserman from The Athletic, who covers all things college football. Ari, thanks so much for taking time to join us this morning. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So, Ari, it was a day that broke the internet yesterday with Arch Manning announcing his commitment to the University of Texas. What did you think of that decision? What do you think ultimately, of course, the number one recruit in the 2023 class could mean for the University of Texas in their long-awaited pursuit to get back to the top of college football?
Well, there's two ways of looking at it if you're a Texas fan or if you're just a college football fan trying to put it in perspective for Texas. Do you look at Arch Manning as a person who is going to come to your school, play quarterback for a few years and elevate the program while he's there through superior play? Or do you look at it as a symbolic nature that completely changes the paradigm of the way that your program is viewed? And which one do you think is more important? You know, I personally think if you really take a step back and really ponder it, you know, Arch Manning is probably the one recruit in the history of recruiting that has had every single imaginable resource possible, at least at the quarterback position, to make an informed decision. He's got money. He's got a royalty family. He's the nephew of two of the greatest NFL quarterbacks of all time. He comes from a place that has produced Division I talents before and first rounders. I think Odell was a first rounder, right? And he visited just about every single place he could have possibly imagined to visit. And at the end of the road, he decided that the best place to go play college football in 2022 was Texas. And maybe it was because of relationships, or he likes the offense, or he wants to do something different. Nobody talks to the kids, and nobody knows exactly what makes him tick. But Texas now can go and sell that. The number one player and the most hyped prospect of all time thought Texas was the best place to go when he could have gone anywhere. And I think that that is going to pay dividends with their remaining in their class. I think it's going to pay dividends with the way that it's viewed, the program is viewed nationally. And I think it would be the thing that, you know, helps move them in the direction they've been trying, which is, you know, competing for, you know, Big 12 championships and college football playoff berths.
Well, the cynic on that, Ari, would look at Texas and say, well, they have recruited really well. I mean, maybe not absolutely top shelf, but they've recruited well. They've brought in a lot of talent. They've still struggled to, you know, come close to, you know, being that on the field. So how much impact, apart from whatever he is as a player, does this have? Like, are we talking, well, I guess, what are we talking, Texas A&M territory, I guess?
Is what
I want to ask you. But, yeah, I mean, like
– I mean, how many five-star prospects in the state of Texas might take an extra visit to Texas now as a result of this? I mean, five-star receiver Jonte Cook had a crystal ball to Texas like 5 minutes after Arch Manning committed. Like, it's possible they could sign 7 to 15 top 100 players this year as a result of this because people want to play with him. And I guess if you're a cynic and you say, well, they're probably still going to go 5-7 in 3 years, it's just like, okay, that's fine, but can anybody better themselves? Like, the only way to be better, if you're Texas, is to continue to recruit or at a high level or recruit better than you've been recruiting and hope that the new staff that wasn't there for the last 15 years of mediocrity can do something with it. And if everybody is always going to be what they've been, then what's the point of even talking about any of this? Everybody sucks when they suck, and everybody's good when they're good, and there's no changing it. So, you know, when I think about the day of a commitment, there has been no greater impact the day of a commitment from a player than Arch Manning has yesterday. And there have been players that have gone to programs and have changed the program once there, but the actual day of the commitment, the value of that for Texas is immeasurable. And I'm just one of the people who tries to look and see, hey, where are things headed? Because history does repeat itself, but sometimes history changes. I mean, Clemson went from, you know, being a solid program to, you know, one of the biggest powerhouses in the sport because they started recruiting at a high level. They hit the right tones with the players they got, and they won games. So when you look at it, like, Texas was a top five job for any college coach for each of the last, or I mean, from like between 2000 to 2015, at least people viewed that as one of the best jobs in the country. It's not like he went to Podunk State or some weird place that no one's ever heard of. I mean, he's going to a huge brand in a talent rich state. You don't think they could ever be good because they were bad?
Ari Wasserman on with us here on Robbie and Rex Show. So, Ari, to that point, I mean, you brought up all the the circumstances that go around this, and I think did a great job of kind of laying that out there for us. I have a question that may be stupid, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Like, do you think Arch Manning can live up to the hype? Like, how difficult do you think that's going to be for him?
Well, the thing about Arch Manning is that there's two separate discussions, right? There's, is he a five-star prospect if his last name isn't Manning? And the answer to that question, I believe, is yes. But the other question is he overhyped because, you know, he is a Manning? And I think the answer to that question is also yes. You know, the amount of hype that this person is getting as a recruit means that either he becomes the number one overall pick in the NFL draft in 3 years or he was a bust. And I kind of feel bad for the kid because of the way that that has kind of worked out. So, like, what does he have to do to live up to the hype? I had to cancel my entire day yesterday because he committed. You know what I mean? Like, that's the hype that he is. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how often that happens in high school football recruiting. So, you know, people think that he might be benefiting from his last name being Manning, and to a certain extent he did, you know, with football IQ and the tutelage that he's had from his uncles and the resources he had during his recruitment. But this guy has zero margin for error, you know, and that's a tough world to live in as any kid, regardless of what your family background is. So it's good and bad for him. And, you know, he has to change Texas to be what people are treating him like, which is a savior of a football program.
Yeah, and you know, in your piece, Ari, you had some really interesting stuff about him as a player as well, and I think that's a great way to put it. Like, both of those things can be true. I mean, obviously, like you said, just the impact is so much about his name and everything, but he is obviously a legit great player. I guess when I look at him, you think about someone who just started a Twitter account, you know, to announce this in a very simple, as you pointed out, very simple announcement, going to Texas, a very different kind of recruitment, has incredible resources. And also, I mean, think just the family resources of knowing how to play this position and everything. I would assume he'd be the type of kid who actually would be just fine with redshirting and being patient, right? I mean, wouldn't that go along with this?
Yeah, if he was an old school recruitment and he was fine doing it the old fashioned way without trying to, you know, get the social media hype and do all the stuff that typical five-star prospects do, then you would think maybe he doesn't have the anticipation of playing right away. And that's quite possible. Maybe he's not ready. Like, listen, going back to the last question that you had, it's like if his last name was Smith, I wouldn't have called off work or not called off everything I had going on for work yesterday. The reason why everybody is freaking out about how good he isn't because he's not a very good football player. It's because of the implication of what his last name means. So, you know, the whole idea of just what he's going to accomplish there is tied to the greatness that his family has already achieved. And it's like a really hard thing to do because the evaluation of it is five-star quarterbacks usually need a year or two to be very, very good. You know, there's a certain exception, especially because they're much better nowadays going through the Elite 11 camps and those things like that once they get to college. But, you know, I had an evaluation in the story yesterday that said he should be a very productive Power 5 starter in 2 or 3 years. And people read that, and I was like, holy crap, like, I cannot believe somebody would think that that's his rating, and how is he the number one player of all time? And it's just like, you have to remember that the way that fans and reporters view five-star prospects aren't viewed the same way by college recruiting staffers and offensive coordinators. So, you know, expectations are all over the map here. I think it's to start day one and to win the Heisman and all those things, and maybe all those things will happen, but you just have to remember, too, the kid's human, you know?
All right, I'm curious to get your viewpoint on Tennessee. As Josh Heupel is about to head into year two, the recruiting has gone relatively well this offseason. Just what do you make of where Tennessee as a program sits after Josh Heupel's first year heading into what was an electrifying offense last year with high expectations on that side of the ball this year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping for their sake that they take a step forward on the field this year, especially with Hendon Hooker. He's probably one of the most exciting players in college football, or at least one of the more anticipated players that we're all going to be watching for the rest of the, you know, summer and ahead into the fall. The recruiting has certainly had an uptick with Nico and all that stuff, and I know that Tennessee is kind of like in the center of that NIL discussion, in that NIL space. And I'm very curious to see how, you know, that program is able to, you know, use those advantages while there's still advantages to sign a top five class potentially. You know, I remember last year, Josh Heupel was trying to flip players from, you know, group of five teams, and I was just like, this ain't it, and the SEC guys. And then all of a sudden, they've got the number two overall quarterback or the number three overall quarterback of the entire country committed a year later, and just like, well, this is good. This is lightning in a bottle. You're ahead of the game in an area that is changing rapidly, and you know you only have a short window before everybody else catches up. So I'm very curious to see how Tennessee does in that regard. The hardest thing as a recruiting analyst, I guess, to do nowadays in the world of NIL is how much credit do you assign the head coach and how much credit do you assign to financial implications, you know? And, you know, maybe if Josh Heupel isn't the greatest recruiter of all time based on the results that he had a year ago, it doesn't mean that he's not going to be successful there, especially if they have people doing other things to get these recruits on stage into the class. So I do think that you know, they seem to be heading in the right direction, but I do think that there's a window of time here before we really find out whether they're built for the long term or not.
A couple questions related to Nico, Ari, real fast. One big picture, one specific. Big picture, how much tougher do you think it will be for coaches to be patient with a major prospect who has NIL stuff around them? And then also specifically to Nico, do you think some of these schools that just lost out on Arch Manning perhaps start pursuing him because of that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody ever stopped pursuing him. And he might just be one of those things where, like, I'm going to sign a deal and I'm going to do this and I'm going to go there and I'm going to fulfill my obligations, and that's great, you know. I don't know that I ever gave any thought to the fact that Nico would flip, considering the circumstances that he reportedly, or people think, you know, he took to commit to Tennessee. So, you know, when he gets there, the hope is that he'll be very good, you know. And I just don't know how the college dynamic is going to change, because the power is with the players now when it never was before. You know, if you're making millions of dollars before you ever throw a pass in college, you're kind of in a position of power that didn't really exist in the past. So, like, I do wonder, like, what that's going to be from a dynamic standpoint when it comes to how Heupel and his staff is going to handle him. How quickly does that mean that they put him on the field even if he's not ready? You know, all these things are, it's like the same thing with the NFL, right? What do you do with a rookie quarterback who just signed a max deal? I mean, you play him? Do you protect him? Do you, you know, these are all things that college football coaches are going to have to start thinking about now, even if they aren't necessarily 100% in the mix with how they're brought to their programs.
Ari Wasserman, our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. Ari, great stuff. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being with us today.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Ari Wasserman from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What do you think of Arch Manning committing to Texas, and do you think it's possible for that kid to live up to the hype? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in for National Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan as the Sounds face the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Ari Wasserman for joining us in the last segment. Joe, what do you make of the Arch Manning stuff? I was, you know, we were coming back from the Pred stuff yesterday at the arena with the Bill Haslam and Herb Fritch and David Poile press conferences, and that's when the news broke. I was blown away by the reaction on social media. I mean, everybody was talking about Arch Manning. What do you make of, number one, his decision to go to Texas and what that could mean for that program? And number two, what do you make of the hype around this kid and how he's going to have to deal with that as he heads into a place where they want to win, and they want to win at pretty much any cost with the Texas Longhorns?
Yeah, it's a fascinating dynamic of incredibly hyped individual and traditionally chronically overhyped football program. You think about that. There's some parallel, maybe a little bit, to Peyton picking Tennessee Of course, Tennessee had been definitely a much stronger program, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s under Johnny Majors, definitely a much stronger program than like Texas has been in the late Mack Brown and then post Mack Brown era. But a little bit of a departure. Of course, at that time, there was a lot of like, well, of course he's going to Ole Miss, right? I mean, I figured that, you know, one thing that would happen here is that Arch Manning was going to pick a different program from anybody else in his family, you know?
Yeah.
I think, well, first of all, Ari got hammered. I meant to ask about this, but we had a lot of good, we could have talked to Ari for a while. Ari's great on recruiting. And he's got his finger on the pulse, and he got hammered a lot yesterday for saying this is the most impactful, you know, recruit of the modern era. But I think to his point, on the day, and there's been plenty of big recruits who have caused lots of commotion, but you think about, I mean,
I haven't seen one quite like that.
No, I mean, I haven't read nearly the thousands and thousands of words about a particular recruit before he ever committed to a school like this. And obviously it has a lot to do with his family. I have no idea. I do think that like there's this natural instinct for people to say, oh, okay, so it's Arch Manning, so everybody's going to make him a five-star. I mean, you know, I think he's a legit prospect, a legit big-time prospect. He's probably going to play in the NFL. It's also – it is a lot to live up to. It seems like he's going about this in a non-traditional and really probably effective way of not getting all caught up in the social media stuff and everything, which I think is great for him. It's still – he's still at some point is going to face up to this. You're Arch Manning. This is Texas. Win a national championship. Win a Heisman. Go. You know, and we'll see how it goes. But also, it's not just like that he's from a famous family and that they're rich and there's all this attention. Talk about incredible resources for playing the position of quarterback.
Yeah.
If you had Uncle Peyton on the line or Uncle Eli, I mean, maybe even Grandpa Archie, although, yeah, you know, he played back when you threw 11 times a game, but still, I mean, incredible resources. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. And I agree with Ari that although Texas has recruited really well, and it's, I mean, Texas is one of those schools that kind of defies, Ari's a huge, like, stars matter, it's about recruiting and everything else after that. And Texas is one of those programs that kind of argues against them a little bit, right? Because they just like, there's still so much more to it than recruiting. But I bet you they have just a massive haul from him being in the fold now.
Oh, I think that's absolutely going to be the case. They brought this up yesterday on the DDC, and I think it's a really interesting point. Now, the thing to keep in mind here, and I know most people know this, but Arch Manning is not Peyton's son. He's not Eli's son. He's Cooper's son. So he is related. He is, you know, those are his uncles. And I'm not saying that, you know, they don't have big money, because they do, but it's not like it's Peyton Manning's son walking around there. I'm interested. You talked about the different approach that he had. I'm interested, like, in today's era of college football, where we talk about NIL almost every day here on this show. A lot of recruiting right now is basically turning into, all right, well, what's the NIL deal I can get?
Yeah.
I wonder what attracts a guy like him to Texas, given the fact, and maybe I'm just making an assumption here that I should make, because I have no clue what NIL is going to look like for him. I'm sure there's going to be something attached to it. But is he making his decision based off NIL? Probably not, based on his family's financial situation. I wonder what the recruiting process was like, and ultimately what was important for him to end up going to Texas.
Well,
he turned down Georgia and Alabama to go to Texas.
Yeah. Well, we had a ton of stories about this yesterday at the Athletic. And one thing that I think it was in Sam Kahn's story, I mean, this still is going to matter, even the NIL era. I swear it will. Sarkisian and those guys, they threw the kitchen sink. They built a really good relationship with them. I mean, you're still, whether you're him who comes from a rich family or not, you're still basically signing up for at least 3 years with a staff. I mean, look, obviously people get in the portal and all that, and so you can do the one-time thing now, but this is still a huge decision, and it still has to do with, like, you're speaking to these people about your future, how you fit into the offense. I mean, there's it, like traditional recruiting still matters, you know? Yes, it is. It's different with him because you would think that NIL would be a little more down the list than with other players. But I also think that with a lot of situations like this, yeah, you're there's going to be a market. It will be set. And it's probably going to be pretty similar what you're going to get at this place, or this place. So then it still comes down to a lot of the traditional things that you look for as a player. I'm sure he's also, I don't know this, but somewhat intrigued by taking it rather than going to Alabama and, hey, keep winning those natties, right? Just keep it going and going to a place that's down and down for Texas and being the one who brings it back. I mean, that's there's a lot of appeal in that, I think, for athletes or coaches, right? So yeah. I would imagine that'd be part of it.
So he will be in the SEC at least for 1 year. 2025 will be, I think, would be his junior year.
Yes.
So he'll at least be in there for 1 year.
And by the way, Quinn Ewers, who, of course, went to Ohio State, got a huge NIL deal, went to Ohio State, got out of there because C.J. Stroud certainly is probably going to be the best quarterback in the country this coming year. I mean, he's, you know, probably going to be the starter this year. And it's not like – now, probably works out. I think that would be so. Yeah, that would be so. His last year of or before he could go to the NFL would be Manning's freshman year. I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of people like, put in Arch. I bet you it's a no brainer that he redshirts that year.
Now, would maybe Joe Milton start over Arch Manning? Do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I can't answer that question until I see them both in the practice field. I don't know.
That's the thing. Like, I've seen like five videos of Arch Manning throwing a football, and he looks very impressive while doing so. I have no kind of, I have no clue what type of player he's going to be. Like, to me, I think it's going to be really difficult to live up to the hype because the hype is just so extreme with this kid.
Yeah, no question. Now, did they say that about Peyton Manning when he went to Tennessee?
Yeah,
I bet you a lot of people did, right? But the difference is that Archie Manning was a really good NFL quarterback, and Peyton Manning, like, now the Manning name is like his two sons are both going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Well, it's football royalty.
It's
the first family of football.
Yeah. So like the hype level, like for Peyton, it was like, yeah, his dad was an NFL quarterback and what can he do? And he's a big time prospect, but yes, this is more hype because of the generation, the next generation, which well exceeded what Archie did as an NFL quarterback. New Orleans fans, that was all they had for a lot of those years when they were wearing those paper bags over their heads. They had Archie.
The Aints.
That's right.
Coming up next, it's time for weekend winners. Lots of action this weekend, and this very well could be the last weekend winners of the season, Joe Rexroad, depending on how things play out. I think it actually has to be. If we're stopping after the Stanley Cup final.
I could put in, but yeah, this is probably it. Well, then you're going to win. Darn it. Oh, well.
We'll see what happens. We'll get to that coming up next. This baseball season, turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code ROB. Place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. The Yankees, dramatic win last night, walk off for Aaron Judge against the Houston Astros. They're my pick right now to win the World Series. They look really strong, but you take it any way you want to take it. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code ROB to get started with your no sweat first bet up to $1,000. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. It is that time of the week, time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, do you have a quick standings update for the competition here today on weekend winners?
God,
Sorry, I hit the instead of hitting the mute button, I hit the expand, and then I'd look at my huge face for a minute, which threw me off. All right. So you and I were just we were total cheeks last week.
Just awful.
We both went 1-5 without our locks, which kept me 5 points behind you. Michelle did better than us, 3-3. So here's the thing. Last week, Robbie, you're 61-47, 10-8 in your locks, 71 points. I'm 55-53, 66 points, 11-6 on my locks, 5 points behind you. So I have to have basically almost a perfect week. You have to have a horrific week for me to win. By the way, Michelle, 53-55, 59 points, 6-12 on locks, but actually –
almost back to 500.
Well, if Michelle had a perfect week and I go 0-4 this week, Michelle, you could actually end up in second. So,
oh,
just saying.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Got so, it. You know, like there's something at stake for all of us. So
there is.
So there we go.
All right. With that, let's get rolling here today on the competition. We begin with Tampa Bay and Colorado coming up in game 5 tonight in the Stanley Cup final. I'll kick us off on this one. I said it earlier. I think most of my heart believes this. I'm not sure that my head does, but we'll try it anyway. I think Tampa Bay wins tonight. Sometimes I think things set up too perfectly, and I think that's the case for Colorado. I think Tampa Bay shows some fight tonight. I know they're banged up, and they're banged up pretty badly, but I think they come out there and they win tonight to force a game 6. So give me the Lightning tonight at Ball Arena. Joe Rexrode, Tampa Bay and Colorado.
Well, I'll go Avs because I have to try to catch you, so I can't have the same pick as you. That's my only rationale.
Wasn't your called shot Tampa?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cheater. You yelled at me for doing that.
Well, he did, didn't he?
He did.
But this is desperate. This is me throwing a Hail Mary.
All right.
I mean, I'm throwing a Hail Mary.
Michelle Knezek, Tampa Bay and Colorado tonight. I assume you're going Tampa to be opposite of Joe.
Actually, I just said Hanley. I'm so, so sorry, but Avs lock.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they're running away with this one, especially in their home arena. They're going home with the cup tonight.
Wait, did you not call a shot on Tampa?
No, yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Stamkos.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
The information has changed.
Oh, yeah, but I said the Avs would still win.
That's true, but they would still win. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. So,
nice try, Rexrode.
You retained your integrity, unlike me. Good job.
Nashville SC taking on DC United this weekend. It's been a bit of a struggle for Nashville SC as of late. Joe, we begin with you on this one. Win, lose, or draw are the options.
DC United, a loss on the road. A little bit of scuffling right now for Nashville SC.
Michelle Knezvik, Nashville SC taking on DC United. Win, lose, or draw?
I think Nashville SC is going to bounce back. I think they're going to get the win in this one.
Give me Nashville SC and make it my lock.
Guarantee.
Locking down on the boys in gold. I think Gary Smith been doing a little bit of talking this week. Not very happy with the way things have gone as of late. I think they respond in a big way. Give me Nashville SC locking down on the win. So now we move to the College World Series final in Omaha. I assume we're just doing a series winner here between Ole Miss and Oklahoma. So, Michelle, kick us off that way. Who wins the series? Who wins the national title? Ole Miss or Oklahoma?
Ole Miss, hottie toddy. And there was my shot as well. So I'm staying consistent in my two picks.
There you go.
Rexrode.
Nice job.
I will go next. Give me Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma wins this series. I don't know how much watching of this series I'm going to be doing, but I think Oklahoma wins. Joe Rexrode, Ole Miss or Oklahoma?
Yep, got to go current SEC over wannabe future SEC. If Oklahoma wins, it will be the first time ever that one school has won the men's and women's College World Series. I don't think history is going to be made here. Ole Miss is a team of destiny.
I can promise you this. Even if Oklahoma does win, they're not going to make it look as easy as the softball team did.
This is true.
Very
we can
true.
All agree on that one.
We now move to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexrode, kick us off with your first individual selection.
Liberty, New York Liberty at the Dream tonight. Dream minus one. Give me the Dream at home.
There you go. A little WNBA action.
That's right.
I like it. Michelle Knezvik, your first individual selection.
Okay, how fitting. Obviously, I'm choosing this WNBA game as well. give me the Atlanta Dream. I've got -1.5 on my end, but I'm taking the Dream anyway. I think Ryan Howard's going to have a big game. Shout out Kentucky Lady Wildcats. How'd you like that one?
Wow.
Give me the Dream tonight. WNBA.
Is it 1 or 1.5?
1.5 on FanDuel.
We need a consensus.
It's 1.5 on FanDuel, so. And we know Joe's been a little flaky, so.
He has. All right, I'm going back to Tampa, Colorado. I'm going over on the 6. So I'll take the over on 6 for Tampa Bay, Colorado. I think it's a high-scoring game tonight. I'm going 4-3 with Victor Hedman with the game winner. So I'll go over 6 goals tonight for Tampa Bay. Michelle Knezevic, your second individual selection.
Okay, next up, New York Yankees versus the Houston Astros. The Yankees are favored by 1.5. They're clearly the best team in baseball right now, so give me the Yankees -1.5. You cheaters are losing, you Astros.
I would go the opposite.
Amen, us.
No, not you guys, unless there's something I don't know.
Give me Astros +1.5 against the Yankees. I think the Yankees win, but I think it's going to be by one run. Verlander on the mound today. It's going to be +1.5 for the Astros against the Yankees. By the way, great game last night between the Astros and the Yankees. Just so you know, Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Well, are the Detroit Tigers playing baseball? They are. So give me a lock on whoever they're playing. Oh, it's Arizona -1.5. Great. Diamondbacks, lock.
Thank you very much for your contribution. My final individual selection of the program. Cardinals -1.5 against the Cubs. Give me the St. Louis Cardinals -1.5 against the lowly Chicago Cubs. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
The lovable losers. And let me continue to take out some baseball frustration. Orioles, White Sox -1.5. Give me the Orioles and the 1.5.
Oh, yes. Very excited, Joe Rexroad, to make these baseball selections in the major leagues. Michelle Knezevic, your final individual selection.
Sorry, my computer was slow for a second. Okay, New York Mets +1.5 versus Miami Marlins. We had TD on today, and we all know that TD is a huge Mets fan. So give me the Mets +1.5.
You are coming to great ways to make these votes at the last
part of the great, great ways. Stuff. Guys, we are struggling. We are in the dry sports season.
Well, are the Tigers playing today? Yep. Give me them. I just want to point out that the opportunity is officially on the table, Joe Rexroad. So we have gone opposite of each other in our three common picks, and we have three different individual picks. So the opportunity is on the table for you to win.
So that's cool. Should we, by the way, so I still have to wash Michelle's Jeep.
Yes.
So is there anything here? So last place here has to do what for first place?
Well, I don't know.
So you're probably going to win, Joe. Well, actually, Robbie's in first.
Well, I'm probably going to be uninvolved.
I love how he waited till the last week to figure out what Michelle could do here.
Wow. Maybe I was thinking about, like, did we actually say something before and we forgot it? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I purposely forgot because I sucked weeks 1 through 5.
Michelle went 0-6 like 3 times, I think.
Yeah, I did. And just 0 on my locks. I think I was 0-7 on locks at one point. So the comeback tour is absolutely great. But listen, yeah. I'll wash Robbie's car. We'll just have a car wash.
Maybe that's what we'll do.
And no one will wash my dirty car.
That's right.
No.
Yours will just be left alone at this time. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get some final thoughts on the Preds press conferences from yesterday from ownership. Take a final look at the Stanley Cup final tonight coming up as well. That's a lot of times to say final in one little tease there. We'll do all that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here.
We're
on
the only show in town.
6-3 the game. Back in final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rexroad. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezevic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, Joe, someone has taken issue with your take on C.J. Stroud. Did you forget about Bryce Young? Young greater than Stroud? This is coming from a texter on the text line.
I did not, and it's a great debate. And I'm not like adamant that C.J. Stroud is better than Bryce Young. But if you force me right now, you turn that light onto my face, and I'm in the interrogation room. Who is a better quarterback? Who's going to be better this year? I'm going to give a slight, slight edge to C.J. Stroud. Love them both. They're both fantastic. C.J. Stroud, I think, in all likelihood, I suppose, people around here probably watch a little more of Bryce Young, who is tremendous. C.J. Stroud is freakish at times with his accuracy and his arm talent. And if you look at – not that this – necessarily relates, like the Heisman or the best player in college football doesn't have to be the number one pick in the draft, but most people will tell you CJ Stroud is going to be the number one pick in the draft of 2023.
The last time we saw CJ Stroud on the field, he threw for 573 yards, 6 touchdowns and a pick. It's pretty good day. Pretty good that day. That was quite the Rose Bowl.
He did throw that pick.
He did. Joe, we talked about it a lot to begin the show, but let's wrap it up with your takeaways yesterday on two fronts. Number one, the ownership front of Herb Fritch and for Bill Haslam coming into things. What stands out? What's your main takeaway from yesterday on that front? And number two, with David Poyle for his comments on Philip Forsberg, both with me yesterday and his press setting as well with the press conference. What stands out on those two fronts, beginning with ownership?
Yeah, a lot going on yesterday for sure. I guess my main takeaway on the ownership front is, I think Bill Haslam will eventually settle in and be probably in action and in visibility and things like this, probably more like a traditional owner, more than the Preds have had since Craig Leopold was their owner. That would be one thing. And I don't know, if he's going to be a good majority owner. I have no idea. I think he's someone certainly who is used to making big decisions and taking criticism for them and being out front and being in public. And I think he gets that that there should be a voice and some interaction between ownership and fans. I also took away yesterday, Herb Fritch talked, credit to Herb Fritch for talking. And, he shed some light on, basically, he had three people in mind. He reached out to them. Bill Haslam was the receptive one who wanted to get into this. That Herb Fritch just wasn't comfortable doing that. So I think there's going to be a change for sure over time in that way. Also, Herb Fritch gave the show of support for David Poyle. We ran the sound earlier from Jared Stillman's question to him about David Poyle. And it was about what I would have expected. I do appreciate that there was an ownership answer on that, but it does kind of tell you, David Poyle is on solid ground, whether he is with fans or not, he's on solid ground with ownership. And I don't necessarily think that means no matter what happens, David Poyle is a GM until he decides to step down. Bad things in the ice still haven't happened yet. Maybe they won't. If they do, I still think that those discussions could change. And by the way, Bill Haslam will now have input even before he becomes majority owner in a few years.
Yep, exactly. And, apparently this process started 6 months ago, and Bill Haslam said yesterday it was an easy yes for him to join the Preds ownership group. David Poyle, with comments yesterday about Philip Forsberg, did say that he remained optimistic for a contract. There is still some time to get a deal done. Talked about, the deadline is approaching and how sometimes that's a good thing because that forces you to get a deal done. But also, with me, said that he is concerned, absolutely, about how this has gone with Forsberg and the fact that he is still unsigned to this point. So when you factor in all of his comments from yesterday, do you think much differently of Forsberg's situation as they head into the final few weeks here leading up to July 13th. What was your read yesterday from David Poile and his comments on Forsberg?
Thanks to your interview, we have coined the new term optimistically concerned. Hashtag optimistically concerned, David Poile.
Stick with it.
Yes. I don't, honestly, with all this stuff, I didn't after that day of presser, which, by the way, the Tennessean had its own like little press row in the corner. That was interesting. All typing away as we walked in there. I didn't necessarily come away feeling all that different about anything, honestly. Like it was, it actually wasn't like as newsworthy a day as maybe some might have expected. It was, there was a lot of interesting discussion, some insight for sure. And I think of the same thing on the Forsberg. It's ultimately, and Poile verbalized it, it comes down to money, and it comes down to one side or the other stepping over a line. And now I'm speaking in my opinion, and I think you share it, that is going to be David Poile if it's going to happen. So does David Poile look at this? This is not an answer we got, but I mean, I think this is a big question. Does David Poile, when it comes down to it, crunch time, either you're signing him or you're losing him, does he look at it like it's essentially at the very, when it really comes down to it, you have to have him back at all costs?
That's an interesting question, because he did bring up, you know, they're having to start working through some backup plans, essentially, is what he said. Now, how much of that is, I mean, I'm sure they have backup plans. How much of him saying that publicly is negotiating and trying to maybe send a message to Forsberg, and how much of that is genuine concern of, yeah, well, I'm thinking about some backup plans right now. I don't know. Like, I guess we'll find out on that front, but I am interested when push comes to shove. And once that calendar flips to July, which I think at this point, like I'd be shocked if they got something done at this point before the calendar flips to July. I mean, you got what, 6 days left? I can't imagine them going from apparently, I mean, we didn't even mention this earlier, but there was a report from Frank Saravalli yesterday of Daily Faceoff that they're not close on a contract. So it's difficult for me to imagine them going from not being close to getting this done in the next 6 days. So as the calendar flips to July, how desperate does David Poile get? How high is he willing to go? Does Philip Forsberg cave a little bit in fear of maybe losing that eighth year? Like those are legitimate, interesting questions I have as they move forward here. So we'll see what happens on that front. Stanley Cup Final Game 5 tonight, Joe Rexroad. I'm interested to see if Tampa Bay can hold them off. That building is going to be electric. Colorado is going to come out with a lot of energy, with a chance to win the cup at home ice. This is it's going to be a huge test for a very banged up Tampa Bay Lightning team tonight.
This matchup is too good. These teams too good for this to end in five. So for the good of hockey, the Lightning need to win. Real quick on Forsberg, if they are far apart, who's being silly? That means one side at least is just being silly. Which is more likely?
Well, it's a great question. Like I don't know what Forsberg, if he's being realistic, his agency, like he can't be asking for like $10 million, right? I wouldn't think.
I don't know, but you can't be if you're David Poile offering less than $8 million, right?
I wouldn't think. I don't know.
They just need to go ahead and show us the numbers, and let's do a Twitter poll and get it over with.
That's right. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll be back on Monday at 6 a.m. The DDC up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.